Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January the 7th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
If you're tuning in for the first time since the holidays, there's actually been quite a bit of news from the location technology sector. So we're here to get you caught up. But first, a word from our sponsor. Natural disasters can deliver sweeping impacts to life and property. Be ready before and after disaster strikes. Harness the raging data torrent across all phases of disaster management. Intergraph's geospatial solutions will help you before the first raindrop falls. See more details at intergraph.com/disaster-management today. So, Adina, while we're off enjoying the festive holiday season, there was no rest for the location technology sector in terms of somewhat big news. Let's start with Apple, that seems to have been trying to win approval with a new patent that sounds like nothing really news to us in the industry. Let me tease that out a little bit. The patent claim, quote, enables a user to dynamically adjust the content of an electronic map. Different nodes can be chosen to emphasize features relevant to a particular interest, such as commuting, tourism, weather, etc. Combinations of modes can be selected to create a customized map. When a search is conducted, the chosen mode functions as a filter for the retrieved results. And you pointed out on All Points blog that among the not-so-new things to people in GIS would be linking a query to existing layers of interest, creating a route by touching points. There's really not a lot here, or so it seems. Do you think this is likely to receive approval? What are we missing here?
Well, I was sort of waiting for the person who I think knows the most about all this stuff, and that's Carl Reed, who currently works at the Open Geospatial Consortium. And he seems to suggest that there should be plenty of prior art out there. And he pointed to MOSS, which was one of the oldest GIS systems. And other folks on a website that collects prior art have pointed to things like OpenStreetMap and even Google Maps.
Yeah, so not a lot here to really, you know, raise our interest level very much. There does seem to be these seem to be standard GIS functions. I'm just a little surprised why Apple even attempted to issue a claim or to register a claim.
And that's really the interesting part, and we'll probably never know. My only thinking was this was in the works and somebody didn't do their homework, or they felt the patent system was so broken this might actually get through. But I think okay. We're on it, and I don't see it going too far. This is the application, so nothing's happened yet. This is our time to document that prior art and get this off the slate.
Yeah, tease it out to see what's going on. Yeah. Well, in other news, it appears that Apple has acquired a company called Broadmap. It's a Lebanon, New Hampshire company that offered a host of services and products for geospatial information. This was first reported in 9to5Mac. Now, some of the evidence supporting 9to5Mac's claim of acquisition, such as some of the staff now cite their positions as working for Apple, according to their LinkedIn profiles, are there, and I verified that. But Dan Peroni, the CEO's profile, has been updated since the 9to5Mac article was published and removes the part where he, quote-unquote, positioned the company for acquisition by a Fortune 5 company, that being a reference to Apple. If you review what Broadmap has to offer, I really could find only one solution that might have been of interest to Apple, that being what's called Broadmap's micro-location retail tracking suite, something retailers might use for merchandising and marketing. There's a lot of confusion around this. It does appear that the acquisition was made, but a lot of the anecdotal and circumstantial evidence seems to be questionable. What's your take here on the mystery around the acquisition?
Well, the best information seems to be from James Fee, who has some sources that he didn't name. His understanding is that Apple did, in fact, buy the IP and hired some of the people, and then it licensed that same IP back to the company so it could serve its current customers. That's entirely possible. It's weird, but it's entirely possible. But what's really interesting, of course, is what you're getting at, which is why would Apple be interested in this company, which isn't that old, never made a big splash for itself. In many ways, it's just another GIS consultancy that builds solutions. And what James Fee suggests is, you know, maybe this is Apple's effort to get these folks on board, many of whom came from Geographic Data Technology, GDT, and start building up its own map database. Maybe. I don't know. Apple is so weird when it comes to mapping that I can't even pretend I know why they're doing this. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's a circuitous route if they wanted to acquire mapping technology. Broadmap does indeed offer a wide variety of services and products, but not that they couldn't find this in other places, hiring different people, hire people away from Google.
Right,
or
and
wherever.
Then jump through all these weird hoops to gain the IP. It's just weird. I suspect we'll learn more about this down the road. But right now, I just don't. It's interesting, but I don't think it's that important right now.
Well, in keeping with investment news, Foursquare received $35 million in Series D funding, and one of the funding partners will join their board. I found a few things curious about this announcement. One, it doesn't seem like this is all that much money. But regardless of the sum, it appears not all is well at Foursquare. Usually when you are that deep into funding and you need another round of investment, something has stalled. Hence the reason I think why a new board member was joining. Plus, I found this statement curious, and I quote, 2013, it's from Foursquare. 2013 has been a very busy year for us. We launched major new versions of our app, a brand new ad platform, and what I'm most proud of, real-time recommendations. That magical buzz from your phone when there's something awesome nearby. It's one of the reasons we started Foursquare almost 5 years ago, and it's one of the special things that only Foursquare can do. Well, I would agree, but that was indeed one of the reasons Foursquare app was interesting in the very beginning of its corporate life. But what's taken them so long to get it going? If they need money to keep the engines rolling here, it's taken them a long time to do it, and it seems like they've come about it in a really circuitous route.
This was a very strange thing. The other thing that's worth noting is that the valuation of the company seems to be heading in the wrong direction, and that is down. Because in early 2012, when there was an investment round made, the valuation that was floated, people don't report this, was $760 million. And at this round, the valuation was said to be $650 million.
Mm-hmm.
So not going in the right direction. And just to put those in context, the hot properties, Pinterest is at $3.8 billion, and Snapchat, despite all of its weirdness, had a $3 billion takeover attempt by Facebook. So Foursquare isn't even in the ball game with those guys. And I think people have just lost interest. I mean, you don't hear about Foursquare. I certainly don't know any of my friends who are playing with Foursquare anymore. It took too long, and we lost interest.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely the case. And I think they missed the window of opportunity for location-based ad notices. So it's not that you're going to go to Foursquare to get these notifications. And as we know, many of the retailers are hopping on the bandwagon of location-based alerts. And if that was the primary reason for Foursquare's early development and early interest, it missed. I think it originally tried to develop relationships with some retailers, and I know one of its early examples was with the casinos in Vegas to get alerts where something interesting is happening. That really never materialized. And then the integration with location-based advertising is just late to the ball game at this point.
I think this is the beginning of the end. I don't think Foursquare is going to make a comeback.
Well, in other patent news, let's go back to closer to the GIS realm. Telvent, now part of Schneider Electric, has a patent for an automated weather alert system. And as stated in the patent claim, using GIS technology automatically ingests weather data and processes the weather data to determine if localized weather conditions pose a threat to any of a plurality of business operations, each of which have a known location. And the present invention provides a system that automatically processes weather data and delivers timely warnings of adverse weather conditions. The only thing that seems unique in this patent is that it's needed by specific businesses, which they list, and that it integrates National Weather Service, Nationwide NEXRAD, and other data providers such as Meteorologix using GIS. And I just got a question. Is this deserving of a patent? What am I missing here?
I didn't find anything unique in this. So the fact that you pulled out those two things, I can't believe those are unique. The other thing that's interesting is I went digging to see if I could find something like this. I found an article in ArcUser from, I think, 2001, where an ESRI partner had built what sounds just like this, built, of course, on ArcGIS. So is this new? And the other thing that really floors me is when the Apple patent came out, everybody was all up in arms about, oh, my goodness, they're trying to patent GIS. We have to do something. And this patent came out, and no one said anything.
Right.
So this is a patent, and Telvet has it, and somehow, according to the patent office, this is new and unique. And one of our commenters argues, further evidence that the U.S. patent system is totally broken. There have been apps like this for
right.
years.
Right.
Right. That's what we think, too.
Yeah, I would agree. So finally today, we want to discuss that without much further delay, the FAA has finally recognized six locations around the U.S. for establishing policy to integrate unmanned aerial vehicles into the national airspace system. There were 25 proposals from 24 states, and we finally got those six test sites selected. It seems like even though the sites were selected, this is still going to take a long time before we see approval of a policy, licensing of owners who will fly UAVs, and ultimately the impact I would expect to see in the mapping and remote sensing industry. So congrats, we finally got the sites approved, but I still think it's going to be a while before we see anything real come out of down the road for policy.
The coverage of this has really not answered some of the questions that I think people have, and I have to give credit to the folks at MAPS who did a really nice job pulling out the stuff that we need to know. And let me just quote the blog post from MAPS. The FAA stated the intent of the test sites is for research and development of safety standards, and these facilities and locations are to be open for commercial users. The ability to access the six test sites by commercial entities must be brokered directly with each test site operator. So think of this chaos. So now you're in a state next door to a state that has a test site, and you've got to work with them to get permission to come and play on their site and do your testing. And yeah, that's going to take a long time and a lot of headaches, I'm sure. The other things that the folks at MAPS point out are that even though there are six locations, there are actually more, because the University of Alaska, which was one of the selected areas, also has test sites in Hawaii and Oregon. And Virginia Tech has a memorandum of understanding with Rutgers University right there in New Jersey.
Right, right.
So it's there's a little more going on. The other thing that I found fascinating, and I didn't know this, was the government is giving these sites exactly no money to do this work.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's either.
Interesting. Well, you know, I was involved here in Huntsville in some of the initial discussions.
Right,
and
you guys bid.
Yeah, and there was, I just remember that the conversation, everything was very hush-hush. We didn't really want to discuss what our assets were locally, because you never knew who else was going to bid against you. I think there was a lot of confusion, I think, in the original RFP out of the FAA as to what they really wanted. And, of course, the idea was, hey, if it's here, then you're going to attract all sorts of new business. So I can see the rationale that this is one of those cases where, okay, you got it, go run with it. Yeah, you would have thought that they would have given some initial funding.
Just for managing all of the people who are going to come and play on the site, there should have been some money. That's just what I would have hoped or thought. But hey, congratulations. These folks think they can make it work. Clearly, they think they're going to grow those sites as the whole UAV thing matures in the United States. So we'll be watching.
Well, and where else are you going to go? You know that these six exist, these six sites exist. And so if you were that interested,
you must go to these places or fly illegally, which people right. are doing. But if you want to do it right, those are the places to go.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Intergraph, wants you to imagine fusing high-volume, rapidly emerging data sources and outputting actionable information. With Intergraph's geospatial natural disaster management solution, keep your citizens safe and structures secure before and after a catastrophic event. Visit intergraph.com/disaster-management today.
And from us here at Directions Magazine, you have until January 31st to submit your abstract for the Location Intelligence 2014 conference, May 19th to 21st in Washington, D.C. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, send us a tweet @directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.